Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
The feet thing. The people that pay for pictures of feet. You know, I always wonder, like, is that a real thing? And if somebody wanted to pay me to look at my feet,
yeah,
would I allow that to happen knowing that it's ill intent, you know?
Well, I mean, it's not the intent that you would think of for your feet, that's for sure, whether it's ill in somebody's eyes or not. But, you know, we've made a lot of jokes about feet pics and what people get paid for them, but here it's getting more serious, it seems like.
Well, okay, so Knott's Landing star Donna Mills, she's before my time, so when this popped up that she had given this interview, I clicked on it because she's 85 years old, and she says this.
Turned 85, I thought, oh my God, I'm elderly. But I'm not. I don't feel elderly. I don't think I look elderly. And if this is 85, all right, I'm on for it.
She looks unbelievable.
Oh, no.
She is a beautiful woman.
Yeah, no, 100%. Always has been a beautiful woman, takes great care of herself, and now she's letting people more into her private life.
Yeah, Zap. She sure is, because she was talking about this.
Well, first of all, I didn't know what OnlyFans was.
Oh.
I had no idea. They came to me, and I said to my agent, I said, What's OnlyFans? They said, well, it's kind of an adults-only kind of thing. Are you sure you want to meet with them? I said, well, I don't know. Let's see what they have to say.
Here's the one thing I've always learned. You always take the meeting. Always take the meeting, because you never know what it's going to be.
A lot of people, these are names that you know, have made $30 million in a day or the first month when
it's
they
crazy.
Opened up an OnlyFans site, right?
Yeah.
It's given a lot of people control and power back in their career.
She talked about that.
And what they said was, you don't have to do nakedness. You do it the way you want to do it. But I'm sincerely happy to be doing it, happy to be interacting with the fans.
And she's making a ton of money. Now, they were asking her, what's like the weird things you get asked to do?
Somebody wants to film, or me film myself, stomping the grapes.
Oh. They want to see your feet.
Yes.
Yep. They want to see the toes.
Yeah, I guess so. There are a lot of people out there who are turned on by toes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you going to deliver that?
You betcha.
You betcha.
Yeah, yeah. The stomping thing is, there's another level to that, too.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into it here on this program, but whoa, to each their own.
So here's the thing. She is an 85-year-old accomplished actress.
Obviously, she's in control of every aspect of herself professionally and personally.
Would you do it? If somebody was going to pay you for photos of your feet,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason they wanted those photos and to own those photos,
yeah,
would you do it? Because I go back and forth, because there are, if you go on our YouTube page, there are several times where Raven and I are barefoot doing dumb things. And I'm like, do people just watch this for free? And I didn't get paid to show my toes?
Seems like we made a mistake there, right? That
look,
we had an error. If we had Donna Mills' representation, maybe we'd be in better shape. On the other hand, I'm looking at Donna Mills right here. And I'm looking at your foot as you hold it up in the air right now.
Look at my foot. Look, I'm wearing Birkenstocks. You see my toes right through them for free, right?
There are no Donna Mills vibes going on here at 85 or otherwise. So,
if a guy sent you a message on OnlyFans.
Yeah, or said he wanted to be a subscriber to an OnlyFans page for me.
Right. And they said, hey, listen, we'll pay you $300 if you could take a picture of you stomping down a Snickers bar with your bare feet.
Yeah.
Would you immediately video it and send it to them and collect your $300?
Can I get this $300 monthly? Because I'll send them more stomping videos.
Every day you'll send them pictures of you stomping on things.
Not every day, but I'll send them at least a few photos in various shoes or complete undress a month. Yes, I would do that.
Okay.
Oh, that's not a real offer?
No.
Like, you don't have somebody?
No, nobody wants to pay to see your feet.
Okay. Well, I got excited.
If you believe in all those positive affirmation things, just repeat after me really quick. I will win the Powerball this evening, and I will be $1 billion richer, or whatever it is.
Okay. Sounds great.
Say, I will be a billionaire tonight.
I will be a billionaire this evening.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's probably not going to be true.
That'd be great.
That's the thing about affirmations. You can keep saying them. If you don't believe them, it's never real.
I mean, I don't think that really affects it one way or the other. I mean, you're going to watch the drawing, right? Mm-hmm. The balls are going to blow up in that little tube, and they're just going to go ahead and give you the numbers. Yesterday, I said to my wife driving home, I was like, are we billionaires today?
Well, here's the thing. Everybody has a dream, and the dream is that you're going to win the lottery, and you're going to have all this money, and you're going to be able to do whatever you want.
That'd be fantastic.
And adults, everybody has dreams on what you want to do with the money, but we asked a bunch of kids what would they do if they won the $1 billion on Powerball, and here's what they said.
Give it to charity?
That's so nice.
That is so nice, but I am not Jeff Bezos, all right? I mean, I'll give some to charity,
right?
But I'm not giving all to charity.
I would get the biggest bar of Snickers that was ever invented.
That's what I'm talking about, kid.
Also, I would also do that. Can we get two of those? If I win $1 billion, I'll buy the biggest Snickers for that kid and for me.
All right, Brooke, I want you to pretend you just won the lottery and now you're a millionaire. What's the first thing you buy?
Cats.
Cats. How many cats?
100.
Imagine you're the mom of this child, and she just, for some reason, now you're billionaires, and she just shows up with 100 cats in your front yard.
Yeah, you're also moving out today.
Right? Yep.
The first thing I buy is a big, big house for my family.
Nice.
And move away, not tell anybody.
That, you know what? She heard that from her parents. You know she heard that from her parents, because it's always the same thing. When I win, no one's ever going to hear from me again. We're going to pick up and we're going to be gone.
Well, you got to get out of town, because if not, everybody shows up looking for a loan. Everybody's got a business idea. All your friends coming out of the woodwork. Oh, remember, you owe me this. Forget it.
Kids don't come up with that on their own. They heard mom and dad say, when we win, no one's going to ever hear from us again.
What's the first thing you buy?
A cat.
Nice. What kind of cat?
A stripy cat.
Why do all these kids want so many cats? And why do they think they need to be billionaires to afford it?
I was going to say, just go to the pound, guys. I mean, there's plenty of cats that need to be adopted. Stripy ones, too.
Crystal, I want you to pretend that you just won the lottery and now you're a millionaire.
Oh, my God!
What's the first thing you would buy?
I might not gonna buy, but I'm gonna probably donate.
Why are these kids so great? They're so nice. She's so excited.
Oh my God!
Then she's like, I'm gonna immediately give that money to people that are less fortunate, which is very sweet.
Donate it to the cats.
There'll
be a lot of them hanging around, I guess.
Definitely. Can you be a true adult and still use the bunny ears method to tie your shoelaces?
I think so.
I don't know. So we've been struggling with my daughter, Dakota. She's going to be 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't figure out how to teach her to tie her shoes.
Yeah.
And we were away for a few days. And I said to my older daughter and my husband, I said, the one thing we need to do is on this vacation is teach your sister how to tie her shoelaces.
Take care of this while we're here.
Right. And ironically, it was my nephew that came to the rescue. He's 8. And he saw her struggling, and he was like, no, I'll teach her how to do it. And he taught her within a matter of 3 seconds in a way I'd never seen taught before.
Mm-hmm. So first, obviously, I need to put this on.
First, you got to put your shoe on. Yep.
Wood chips on.
Wood chips out. Yep.
First, she's got to put her shoes on and take the wood chips out. Why my child always has wood chips in her shoes, I have no idea.
Well, you know, you're outside, you're playing, you're running around. It's going to happen.
Is it? How often?
Happened to me.
As an adult.
As a child, it happened to me.
But as an adult, do you ever have wood chips in your shoes?
Can't say that I normally do, but they used to be very prominent at the playgrounds, as I recall.
Yeah, but the way he did it was so interesting, and I'd never seen it. You know, you say you make the bunny ears,
yeah,
right? But
usually, yeah, that's how I do it.
You make the two loops, but you... He taught her that you stick them back in the hole. You know the hole where your shoelace comes out, the last one?
Yeah.
You re-enter it in there. You stick the hard plastic part of the end of your shoelace back into that hole. And then you take the two loops that are already secured and you tie them in a double knot.
Take the two bunny ears.
Take the two pieces that made the two bunny ears. Yep.
And then cross it.
Mm-hmm.
Make it into a knot.
It's hard to explain, but once you see it, you're like, oh, yeah. And it took her 2 minutes and 43 seconds to tie one shoe. So
it's
a long time.
Practice makes perfect. You know, yeah. You'll speed it up. It does seem like that's an extra step doing it that way, looping it through that top
loop.
But
it worked.
And it's too tight for me when I go all the way to the top.
Oh, really?
I got to leave the top one off.
Maybe you just have brick feet like I do.
Yeah, could be. Yeah.
But I started, so great. Like, she figured it out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's over. It's effective. Yeah.
Thank you, Nate, for teaching her. I appreciate it. But I was thinking about it. I'm like, there's some things, though, you can't do as an adult that you did as a kid and get away with. Like, if I saw a grown woman, that's how she tied her sneakers.
Yeah.
I'd be like, there's something wrong here. Like, that's not how you tie your shoes when you're a grown up.
Yeah, but here's the thing is it's not like you're reciting it out loud. So nobody's going to know. There's other things, behaviors that you can't do as an adult because people automatically see them and know the method or whatever you're doing. Like, you know, kids, they're around me all the time. Kids pick their nose. It doesn't bother anybody.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you tell them to stop. But they just keep doing it.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. And then they wipe it on things. You, the couch, anything that's around there. You can't do that as an adult.
Now when you see an adult driving, picking their nose, you announce it to everyone in your car.
That's right.
They're picking their nose.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, you make a mental note of it.
Right. Even though we all pick our nose. It's just a fact. You just can't do it in public. No, you don't pick your nose? No, I've seen you pick your nose.
Not ever.
I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. Jamie wrote, you can't slurp your beverage through a straw when you're an adult.
Oh, I've been doing that lately, and I don't know why.
Ew.
That and when I'm like, all of a sudden when I'm eating now, everything sounds like I'm eating soup. What's happening? Why is that?
Becca says, you can't sneak into a drive-in when you're an adult.
I would do that.
You get arrested.
I would still. You're not going to get arrested. Get out of here.
Marcy says you can't ride a skateboard unless you're Tony Hawk if you're an adult.
I rode a scooter for the first time in, like, I don't know, 20 years this past week.
I didn't stop hearing about it all weekend.
Yeah, I'm starting a scooter gang.
Yeah, great. What's the thing that you did as a kid that was totally normal? Like, use bunny ears to tie your shoes. But now that you're an adult, if you do it, it's weird. 1-800-330-9999. What's something that you did when you were a kid that now that you're an adult, you can't get away with it? It's weird. 1-800-330-9999. My daughter would not learn how to tie her shoes. It was like the bane of our existence. And all of a sudden, my little nephew comes forward and he teaches her how to do a specific bunny ears method that we're going to post on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. I had never seen it before. And it worked. But as a grown up, you can't still use the bunny ears method to tie your shoes. People look at you like you're a weirdo.
Well, you can't announce it. You can't say it out loud, I think. You have to keep it to yourself. Like, I still spell friends by doing fry ends, but nobody as an adult needs to know that.
Right. I fry the ends off my friends.
That's right.
That's weird. All right. What do you do as a kid that you could never get away with as an adult? Jason.
Well, the biggest one I would do would, like, I would steal street signs, guys.
Oh.
But, so I'm like, don't do that as an adult, right? That's just, you kind of know that's wrong.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Every once in a while, my father would come home with, like, one of those big cones. Not the cones themselves, but you know the things that it looks like an upside-down barrel on the highway uses to, like, close the road and they, like, attach a little light to it or whatever? Every once in a while, my dad would come home with one of those in the back of his pickup. Like, what are you doing, Dad?
Why? For what?
I don't know.
Just to have it?
Heineken, I guess, would be the answer. For what? For what motivation? Right? Heffenreffer. Whatever reason he had for picking that thing up. How about leave it alone? He didn't work for the DOT. Let's put it that way.
Boredom, I think.
The last time we stole a sign was my sorority when we were pledging.
Nice.
That was the last time.
What was the sign?
It was our college sign. So, like, it was off the highway.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it was so big.
Yeah.
It was so big.
They're always bigger than they think you are.
Because
from the car, so big, it looks more manageable.
Yeah. I could tell you stories from pledging, man. There were a lot of signs. A lot of signs. Our whole entire townhouse was filled with signs. Mm-hmm. We basically looked like a highway.
Meredith, what's something you used to do back in the day, but now you can't do it anymore?
Well, this is inspired by when I was hanging out with my friend last week. She was really, really excited to sit at the front of the bus. And I just thought, like, this feels so much like when we were little kids and, you know, the cool kind of edgy kids sat at the back of the bus and then, like, the good kids sat at the front of the bus. I was like, I think that when we're adults, we need to just get on the bus and get to where we're going to.
Sit whatever's like, available.
We can't. Yeah, whatever seat is available, you know, if you've got an extra seat next to you. You don't want to be, like, you know, taking up one seat next to one person when the rest of the bus is available just so that you could sit at the front of the bus. I don't know. I guess she thought the view was better, but I just thought that was, it felt like I was in elementary school again.
Whenever I would walk into a new classroom, I would always take the last seat closest to the wall. It's always the seat I went for first.
And if
that
back.
Seat was taken, yeah, the back closest to the wall. If that one was taken, I'd move one up. To this day, if I go to a conference or I go somewhere where it's like a classroom setting, I still go for that seat. I don't know why.
I'm a second row person. I'm second row. I don't want to be in the front row because then I got nowhere to put my feet, anything like that. You're seeing everything that's in my lap. You're just, you know, whatever, as the teacher. Like, I don't want to be that exposed. But second row, that's fine. I don't want to know what the people behind me are thinking, especially if I'm the new person. I don't want to see any faces.
Oh my gosh, but your head is so big. How do people see around it?
Yeah, that's their problem, not mine. Yeah. That's a them problem,
that's
not
why
this guy problem.
That's why you have to sit next to the wall.
Right? They'd be like, that guy is powerful. You know, there was a time in human, like, development, Anna, like the history of everybody, that, you know, if you had a large cranium, people were like, you're superior. Like, there's strength there, right? Like, you know. They bred that. They were like, that's definitely the future of the human race.
You're making up that up. You're making that up.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd have to sit through social studies to find out if I am. And I'm in the second row.
Borrow your neighbor's bike without asking.
Yeah, you could definitely do that as a kid. Try doing that as an adult. The police will be knocking on your front door.
Yeah, I had to teach my daughter how to tie her shoelaces. She's almost 8, so it was time. She couldn't get it. Finally, my nephew taught her bunny ears, and I'm like, that's great now, but when you get to be an adult, you can't still use bunny ears to tie your shoes.
Here's something you can't get away with as an adult. As a kid, totally normal. Shaving once a month.
Right. You don't even have facial hair.
That's right. But you do it anyways. Pull out the Gillette.
1-800-330-9999. What did you do as a kid that you can't do now that you're an adult? Lewis.
How about turning around in a booth at a restaurant and staring at the people behind you?
That is a good one.
I mean, like, can you imagine?
And Jaden will do that. And, of course, you know, they're never doing it just silently either. It's like, hi, hi. And he literally, no matter what it is you say in response right now, he just keeps screaming the same thing at you over and over.
Nothing makes me happier than when a little kid peeks their head and they're, like, looking at me because I just have a blast. I'm like, hi! And I make my faces and I do peekaboo.
What if they start crying, though? How does that make you feel?
Well, you know, then they can sit down. That's your problem, not my problem. But it would definitely be different if it's a 38-year-old man.
Yeah.
What is that dude doing?
No, that's true. That is 100% accurate. Good one.
Marissa, how about you? What are some things you shouldn't do anymore once you become an adult?
Ask adults to help me unbuckle my overalls before I go to the bathroom.
You're going to end up with company that you don't want if that's the question you're walking around asking people. That
yeah, I mean, I think half the population
accurate.
Might appreciate that question, but for my own safety.
Dakota is still learning how to do her jeans, like the top of her jeans, the buttons.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I'm like, at what point are you just too old to ask mommy to undo your pants in the bathroom every single time?
Yeah, you'll still be doing it.
Daria, what are some things you shouldn't do anymore once you're an adult?
Okay, so I have a friend who still likes to have slumber parties. Like, that's what she calls them. She's 41. And she wants all of her friends to come over and, like, sleep in sleeping bags on her living room floor. I don't want to sleep in a sleeping bag on a floor anymore. My back's not doing it. But, like, that's her thing. She still buys, like, actual physical copies of magazines. She wants us all to flip through and, like, paint our nails. And it just feels like a, you know, like a sleepover you have when you're in, like, sixth grade.
I love this party.
No, I love an adult slumber party. I had one with my girlfriends not too long ago where I brought my 7-year-old sleeping bag and slept on a blow-up mattress, and it was the best. I had so much fun.
No, I love that. Yeah. I'll sleep in the car. I'll sleep on the couch. I'll sleep in the tent. I don't care. Like, I live for that type of stuff.
But I don't like the idea of being pressured to do it if you don't want to. Like, there's only a certain group of people that I want to do that with. And if it was, like, a C-level friend that's like, come to my sleepover, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, okay. All right. But A-level, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That person knows what you guys are into, and it's Tiger Beat magazines.
All day.
Obviously.
Chris, what shouldn't you do anymore now that you're an adult?
I think randomly ask people to watch how fast I can run.
Wow.
That's a good one.
That is every kid.
Yep.
That is funny. Look.
Don't watch this.
Look, watch,
mommy,
watch
mommy.
How fast I can run.
Mommy, watch this. Watch this. Watch. Mommy, watch. Watch out. Mommy. Mommy, time me. Mommy, time me. On my mark. Yes, go. Go. Mommy. One Mississippi. Two Mississippi. Three Mississippi. Wow.
If an adult came up to you and said, watch this. Watch how fast I can run.
Yep.
I'd be like, what have you just done? Like, immediately I assume that a criminal element is part of this.
Yep.
Excellent answer.
Over the weekend that sticks out. Were you mad? Were you sad? Were you glad? Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin, I was mad as all heck yesterday.
Mm.
My flight was canceled on JetBlue. I did the cancellation thing so I could be refunded.
Yeah.
I didn't get any money back, shockingly.
Nice.
I went on the website. It said that if you don't respond, they'll return the money in 7 business days. I did respond, and it was way past 7 business days. I called. They told me the wait time was 2 hours and 23 minutes.
On the phone?
On the phone.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, so then I did the callback. They called me back 6 hours later.
Wow. Nice.
Yep, and they wouldn't give me back the cash. They would only give me the points portion of it.
Okay.
Yep, so there's that. I got like $37 and 16,000 points.
I mean, where does that leave you?
Nowhere. It leaves me absolutely nowhere.
Wow,
where it leaves me.
That's terrible.
I was mad.
This has not been your year for flights.
No. when I tell you that this summer is comedic, how terrible it's been with all my flights.
I mean, it'd be funnier if it was only happening to you. It's happening to everybody.
Yeah.
It's been really, really bad the past couple weeks, especially. I'm totally glad that I experienced Cleveland barbecue.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
It was delicious.
It was so amazing. I have no idea still why they don't do cornbread or coleslaw, but who cares? It was so good. And the pierogies and kielbasa, not also something that I always see on my barbecue spread, and it was unbelievable.
Also, no Mabel's. Mac and cheese.
No mac and cheese. That was the other thing that was really jarring.
Yeah. But it was. It was very, very good.
Mabel's. Yeah. Amazing. If you ever have the opportunity, eat it. Eat
Thank
it all.
You. Thank you, Cleveland. We had a wonderful time.
Really did.
Sophia.
I have a million glad things I could say, but I'm going to go with my mad.
Okay.
That's how I think.
Wow. I stamped myself. I'm burnt myself. The worst I've ever burnt myself before. And in the most humiliating way.
How?
On a straight out of the oven pan of French fries.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I pressed my body right up against them and am permanently scarred.
Oh, that's terrible.
Where, your thigh? Where did you hit it?
No, my stomach.
Keep some bacitracin on there.
Oh my God, it's so bad. It's really bad.
Oh, it is bad.
Yeah. That's going to scar for real.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Well, just keep it, you know, keep some bacitracin. There's no bacitracin on it right now. What's wrong
There's
with you,
not,
Sophia?
No.
Put some on it.
Okay, I'm a mom.
Keep it moist.
Don't worry. I've got Neosporin.
You're still young. your skin will recover.
We need to make up a good story for it.
Yeah.
No. I was stabbed.
I was burned.
I was making French fries.
Appendix scar.
Right. Yeah. Also good. Justin, how about you? Mad, sad, or glad?
Glad. I have a very energetic 4-year-old nephew. And by very energetic, he wants to run and play and chase and scream and kick and throw balls and all this stuff nonstop. And it can be quite exhausting. And he never sits down for story time. But I got him. I got him to sit down and get fully engaged in a book. And it was wonderful because he actually was helping me turn the pages and all that. The monster at the end of this book.
Wow.
It's a classic.
Okay.
Wow. It's a classic.
You know what? I want to take that opportunity to just say hello to Arlo, who tackled me yesterday. I met him. He's 4.5 years old, I want to say.
Yeah.
And mom, get him into that football camp like we were talking about. I mean, he hit me with torque. Seriously.
Remember, if you are mad, sad, or glad this weekend, we want to hear what happened to you. 1-800-330-9999. Sometimes you just have to beg. It's the only way, Raven.
I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to grovel.
I'm going to beg.
What will be, will be.
It is a true career highlight for Raven and I. We are honored to be nominated for a Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters. For those of you that are not familiar, this is radio's Oscars.
Yeah,
this
I mean,
the biggest night in radio. It's the biggest thing. The fact that we're nominated is wild.
There's nobody out there alive except those that are basically in radio that would be aware of what this award is. So for those of you who don't know, is everybody. But in our industry, as indicated, it's a very big one. It's one that, you know, honestly, if I had to look at my entire career, if you were looking at it early on, you don't think that you're ever going to be nominated
Never.
For one of these awards.
No. Like, I've already checked that off my list, and I can't even believe that I can say that out loud. But that being said, we were the first person, when they did the live nominations, we were the first team that was announced. And I was like, ah! You know, like, you can't believe it. It's like such a thing.
Was it all alphabetical? I don't know if it was, right? Is that the reason? Or
it
if it's just you know, a coincidence? But, you know, I mean, maybe that is the reason. But
and there's four other shows that are nominated. And but there's one that are all incredible. But when
we're not going to shout out the other ones, though. You guys do your own thing.
But one guy, when I heard his nomination along with our name, I said, no. Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
For those
kind
of you that
kind
are
of a big deal.
Right. That don't know, Ryan Seacrest also has a radio show, a very famous radio show. He's a radio guy, and he still does his radio show despite the fact that he does everything. And I said, no.
It's nice to have a private jet.
Right. So I have an open letter to Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, Ryan Seacrest. Congratulations on your tremendous success. You're living the life I dreamed of. American Idol, iconic host. You have television. You have restaurants. You decide when the ball drops in Times Square every New Year's Eve. No big deal.
He controls time.
You have your own wine. Now you're the host of Wheel of Fortune. It's remarkable. I'm not jealous. I'm happy for all your fame and fortune. You didn't leave a single thing for the rest of us. But there is one thing we have in common. We both have radio shows. We are both nominated in the same category for a National Association. See, that's why he's going to win, because he can say words and I can't.
Yeah.
National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award. Please give us a chance. You already have three Marconis.
Does he have three Marconis?
He sure does.
He shouldn't come.
And truthfully, we'll probably never get nominated again.
No, come on.
Seriously.
Stop that.
Yep.
We're going to do this every year.
Please let me win a Marconi. You don't need another one. I'm not asking for your house. I'm not even asking for one of your jobs, even though I'll be happy to take any one of 13 of them if you're tired and you need a nap.
Yeah.
I'm simply asking you to look at the Marconi nominations and say, you know what? This one's theirs.
Yeah, I just want to walk in the building and see that he's not there. That's really what I want to see, because then I'll think to myself that we actually have a chance.
We don't have a chance.
If we walk in the building and he's there, I'm going to be like, oh, no, somebody told him.
Well, here's the thing. You know, these big celebrities, they only go to these award ceremonies if they know they're going to win.
That's right.
So Raven and I have already decided that if we walk in the door, and, you know, in a corner is Ryan Seacrest with all his security
guards.
We
should just leave.
That's it.
We should
We're
just
done.
Leave.
But, Ryan, if you ever hear this, I know you don't know who we are. This is a big deal to us. You've got a case full of awards and a bazillion dollars.
It's true.
Can we please have it? Please?
Just stay home.
Yeah.
Tell them you're busy
that night. You're busy that night.
We appreciate it.
Yep.
It's time for a round of Happy Hour Happenings with Anna and Raven.
Every weekend, producer Sophia heads out to the bars and she just goes up to random strangers, shoves a microphone in their face and says, hey, what's going on?
It's an amazing talent, the fact that people just open up to her. Yeah. Honestly, I have to pry with people sometimes. And for whatever reason, people just confess to Sophia.
They do.
Welcome to Happy Hour Happenings. What happened to you this week?
I was playing golf this morning and I teed up on the 11th hole and I shattered a window of a house that was right across the street.
Did you pay for it?
I did not. The guy came out. He was furious. I got kicked off the golf course. It was rough.
Are you going to?
No, the guy never talked to me. He talked to the manager to get me kicked off the course.
I never understood like how people live on golf courses and they don't have more issues with their windows.
Well, I mean, if you're across the street, that's a pretty bad slash is what I'm guessing there, right? I mean, they don't put the house window right in front of the fairway at a distance that you're prone to hit it. So either he's got a 500, 600-yard drive or it was an errant shot.
Well, What are you supposed to yell? What do you yell when?
Four. But I think you only yell that like when you hit a ball accidentally and people are on the fairway in the middle.
What did you think it was, Sophia?
Fire, but maybe you shouldn't be yelling fire on a golf course.
It's not fire.
Because fire is a good thing to run because people will just run. They will just run out of the way.
It's not the word I was thinking.
They say to yell fire instead of help. Did you know that?
Why? So people run away from you?
They say that fire, people, it draws people. Help, people tend not to react.
Weird.
It's crazy, right?
Welcome to Happy Hour Happenings. What happened to you this week?
Oh, hi. My name's Steve. So I went with some friends this weekend. We were walking down the boardwalk. We're having a good time. And we meet some people, and we start singing in sync for them, and they loved it, right? So, like, we do that, and everything's great. By the way, it's, like, 4 in the morning, so it was, like, pretty late. And we keep walking down the boardwalk, and, like, 30 seconds after we stop talking to people we were singing to, this guy, like, comes out of the shadows, and he's like, oh, you guys want to fight? Like, you guys, like...
Right.
You guys are, like, definitely trying to fight me right now. We're like, oh, right. No, like, I don't know what you're talking about. So we kept talking to him, and he's like, starts crying, and he's like, yeah, my friend, like, he's in the hospital because he got hit by a car. We were like, oh,
okay.
Do you want a hug? And like, then he gave us all a hug.
That's a good night.
You know what? It flipped on its head right there. They flipped it on its head, right? Like, if I heard four guys at 4 a.m. singing NSYNC, I figured they were looking for me to fight also. But then, if I made myself emotionally vulnerable and they were like, no, dude, let's support you here in this moment because you seem like you're in crisis. Like,
it was actually really funny because he was singing NSYNC as I walked by him. And I was like, wait, this guy, he seems like a good candidate for this. And then he went into the story about why he was singing NSYNC.
Right.
So it's perfect.
I'm so proud of you for spotting that a mile
away. Thank you.
I'm like, that guy. Go get that guy.
Talk to that
perfect.
Guy.
Right, okay.
Welcome to Happy Hour Happenings. What happened to you this week?
Today, I rode a jet ski for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was like tubing. It was awesome. My best friend was driving the jet ski, and he went 70 knots. 70 knots. She was fired.
70 knots?
But that's 46 miles an hour. That's fast to me, man. I was holding on, and we were way out, and I'm not a very good swimmer.
I don't want to go that fast on a jet ski.
You don't want to go that fast on the water. He was in the tube.
Right.
His friend was driving. The jet ski is one thing. You're on the tube. That's like taking your life in your hands.
Absolutely.
He was so excited.
Yeah. Somebody hug me when I get back to shore. Where's that guy?
Do you ever have to tip somebody after a very strange encounter? I had to do it. And I didn't have a shirt on, Raven.
What? That's odd for you. What happened?
I know. So these are the top five people you're not supposed to tip. Number one, airplane pilot.
Right. Okay. I mean, if they're asking, that's a problem.
Correct.
Yeah.
Number two, game show host. Like, Ryan Seacrest doesn't have enough money. Doesn't he just host everything at this point?
I mean, who would even think to tip that person?
No idea.
How does this list get compiled?
Your mom. Okay. Tip your mom.
Okay.
I could use a tip, though.
I thought for a minute you were saying your mom.
No.
And we were going to have a problem.
Nope. You don't need to tip your mom.
Okay.
Police officers, because that's a bribe.
Yep.
Correct.
Can't do that.
And then the last one I actually disagree with, your kid's teacher. You're not supposed to tip them. I always give cash for the gifts, like for the Christmas and for the end of year.
Also could be a bribe.
I don't care.
Depending on how you view it.
I don't care. They need money. I'm going to give them money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing about tipping is that it's gotten so out of control at this point. But you ever have to tip somebody and the encounter was so strange? It's so embarrassing. And my friends seriously think something's wrong with me. And they might be right.
Okay, what's wrong?
So I went, I had a YOLO day. I had a day where my husband was away, my kids were away, and I was going to be by myself, which is a very rare occurrence.
I mean, I was going to say, that sounds insane.
It's not my norm. And I said, I'm going to go get one of those foot massages and back massages.
Oh,
I'm going
to go to one of those places.
Spa day for you?
Nice.
So I went to one of those places where they do the foot massage, and I haven't gone in like 3-4 years. And it used to be where the foot massage was like $40, and then for an additional $25, you can get a 30-minute chair massage.
Wait, is this the place where you would go where they rub your feet with lotion, you said?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's also weird to me, but
it's
okay.
It's strange, but it's wonderful. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
Until this time, because I hadn't gone in so long. So I walked in and I said, hello, I would like the massage in the chair, and I would like my feet massaged. So they did the foot massage, everything was normal. And normally they bring you to the chair where you put your face in and then you're sitting in the chair like backwards.
Yeah.
But they brought me to a room. And they were like, the guy says to me, lay down and take your shirt off. And I was like,
wait, the guy said this?
Yeah, a guy.
So this is awkward.
Right. And so what do? I lay down and I take my shirt off.
Immediately disrobe. Right. And the most prude person I've ever met.
I was like, well.
This stranger tells you to remove your clothing and you do it.
100%.
Oh my God, I hope you're all right.
My best friend was like, Anna, it's not a doctor's office. Like, you don't have to. And I'm like,
right.
I don't know.
This person has no authority over you to make you do that.
So I'm laying down. My head is flat on the table. I have no shirt on. I have my jeans on. Out of all the weird things.
So strange.
It's so weird.
That's weird.
And out of the corner of my eye.
Your jeans.
This woman walks in and she dims the light and she's this elderly, small, frail looking woman. So I'm like, at least it's a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's so small, but she's so strong. And now.
They always are the hands.
And I'm like in pain. And all of a sudden, it's like one of those Instagram videos where she crawls on my back.
Yeah.
And she puts her knees in my butt.
Oh,
and
no.
And she picks up my arms and I'm hanging there topless. And I'm like, what is happening?
I mean, you just better hope there's no cameras in there,
and
right?
And she's using her elbow to get into my back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I being punked right now? Like, what is... What is happening? And then she finishes. I hear the little like bell go off in 30 minutes.
Right.
And she was like, all set.
Time for you to go.
I was like, nobody's going to believe me when I tell this story.
Yeah.
And then I walked out and I handed her a $20 bill. I said, thank you. And I left.
You had to go. You had to go and you had to pay her. And you were just lucky to get out yourself in that regard. I know that.
And I still had to tip her.
When you're stretching and being pulled in those directions, you're wondering to yourself, could I take this old lady if I needed to?
I was terrified.
Right.
Her little hands were so strong.
I'm glad you made it out alive.
What was the strangest encounter you ever had that you still had to tip the person? I can't believe I just told that story on the air. 1-800-330-9999. Was it weirder than that?
You're free of it now. You're free of it.
What was the strangest encounter you ever had with somebody and you still had to tip them? I went for the most aggressive massage of my life.
Mm-hmm.
She was an elderly, frail, small-looking woman who had the strongest hands, and then she did the thing where she walked on my back. I had no idea any of it was about to happen. It was so weird.
Those trained professionals, like, they know how to hurt you. They know where all the pressure points are, so it can get really risky.
I felt wonderful afterwards, but at the time, when I was just, she was walking on my back.
You were confused.
And putting her knee in my butt. I was
terrified.
Like, that's weird.
It's like being assaulted. I don't know if it was the strangest, but the fact that you always feel obligated to tip rideshare, Uber or Lyft, like some of them don't even move in the car. The car is filthy, but you're so worried about your rating, you can't do it. I'm pretty sure I sprained my ACL getting into a vehicle like a couple weeks ago traveling.
Yeah.
And I still had to leave 20%.
Yeah. What was the last encounter you had with somebody where it was strange, but you still tipped them? 1-800-330-9999. Adam.
A cleaning person a couple of years ago, and they did a great job, so I felt obligated to tip them, but I caught them snooping in on my stuff. It happened to get home a little bit early, and I saw them in my closet, and they were going a little too far into my drawers and into my personal items, and so I talked to them. They didn't steal anything, but would they have if I wouldn't have come in? I don't know.
It's still weird.
But I tipped them.
You know, that they're evaluating your stuff, but you have to assume that anybody that's in your space, it's just human nature. Right? Like, I mean, listen, if you're in somebody's closet, Anna, and that's where you work, you're going to open that drawer. It's there. Why not? You're cleaning everything around it anyway. So what starts as being something open or something that's completely innocent, you know, then you're like, I'm going to look in here.
Well, you know what was
curiosity.
Weird? We have a cleaning company that comes every few weeks to our home. And this past time, my charger for my Aura ring was missing, so I couldn't find it. And then I opened up my underwear drawer and my nightstand, and it was there.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why you had to go in my underwear drawer.
To put the
Aura ring, the cord in. Like, why wouldn't you just take it off, put it on the floor, and then, like, wipe it? And then I was like, oh, like, they went in my underwear drawer. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, like, the one place that...
sacred.
That's like, I don't...
You didn't expect anybody to look?
I don't want anybody touching my moutons, you know what I mean?
If you don't want anybody in a space and you have people cleaning your space, I mean, you just need to put it on video or you got to put it in a lockbox.
That's a good idea, the video thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just... Don't touch my... I trust you. Don't go in my underwear drawer. That's my underwear.
We just got extra cameras for every room for that exact situation.
That's weird.
To guard underwear.
Yeah, to guard your underwear.
From strange encounters.
Thanks, Adam. Angela, how about you? Did you ever have a strange encounter with somebody and you still had to tip them?
Yeah, I was eating at this restaurant, and pretty early on into the meal, the waiter wrote his number on a napkin and gave it to me. Which, you know, I guess you usually see people do that, like, at the end with the receipt, but so early on in the meal. And I wasn't interested, so then I just had to, like,
leave a tip anyways. And like, I don't know. It felt like I didn't want to reject him, but I was just like, here's, you know, 20%. Like I always do.
Right.
But also a polite no.
I hope he didn't do anything to your bread. Weird.
Not the bread that
I know. I was trying to just navigate it and be nice, but then I think he took the hint and probably got in my food.
Mm-hmm. You're right. That is awkward.
Right.
Like, yeah, like, I'm not into this dude. I'm not into giving him my phone number, but here's your 20% tip on my sandwich.
Thanks, but no thanks, pal.
The strangest situation you were ever in, and then you still had to tip. 1-800-330-9999. Do you ever have to tip somebody and it felt really awkward? I went for a massage. I thought it was a chair massage. Mm. Turned out I was lying on a bed and this woman was crawling on top of my back with her feet.
Yeah, the situation was awkward for you. But at the end, of course, you're going to give her money.
I was like, here's a $20 bill. Thank you so much for hurting me more than I've ever been hurt ever during a massage.
That was an incredible experience.
When was the last time you tipped somebody and it just felt weird? 1-800-330-9999.
Okay, so I went to a restaurant with a friend. Our server, I mean, they didn't get anything right at all. This guy, I mean, he looked like he was like half asleep. It was just kind of a mess, and he straight up told us to our faces that this is his last day and he doesn't care. So I was not going to tip this person, but my friends, this is how they make their money, blah, blah, blah. And she really guilted me into tipping. And then I was just mad about the whole rest of the night. Like, come on. Like, this is the one time I really shouldn't have tipped somebody. Like, that was weird.
You know, I always feel the same. I feel you have to tip. You have to. It's you're paying for the service. They brought you your food. You ate, even if it's not great. But
if they're miserable, though?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Something
happened to me last week having dinner, and the waiter said, if it was at all possible, could he have a cash tip? And
what?
Yeah, and it's so funny how immediately my husband and my cousin Keith
recoiled, right?
No, they were like, give the dude cash. We're going to give the guy cash. Yeah.
Because why?
Like, no, he's not going to pay taxes on it. He's going to pocket that money. Like, get him some cash. And they were 100% on board. And I mean, I get it. I grew up in a restaurant family.
I understand that it seems good, but would you ever ask?
No,
that?
I would never ask. I would be upset if somebody that worked for my family asked the customers for a cash tip.
Yes.
But I gave him a lot of respect for doing it. I was like, that's interesting. And he got his cash tip. $56 in cash he got.
Feels very uncouth to me, right? It just does. I mean, I don't know. Alicia had my daughter-in-law's bachelorette this weekend, right? And one thing that they rented was cabanas and day beds around the pool at the resort. And do you know that they had to tip on the day bed and cabana rental?
Yeah.
Not the service, not the booze, not the food.
Right.
They had to tip on the $250 for the day bed. They had to tip for the $500, $600, whatever it was on the cabana.
Yep.
Like, they just tacked that on automatic.
Yeah, no, it's like you have to tip for everything.
That feels wrong, man.
You know, now you have to just assume everything has a gratuity attached to it. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying it's just the norm.
18% guaranteed on a piece of furniture.
What if the daybed asked for it in cash?
That would have been fighting words. I don't know. I would have sat on it, muffled its voice.
Peter, how about you? Strangest encounter you had with a person and then you still had to tip them.
I go to get a haircut first time at this place. You know, they get the little like hair cutting sinks. You go and get your hair washed for herself. She puts my head back in the sink and she kept dropping the shampoo bottle and then the conditioner bottle on the top of my head. It kept slipping out of her hand.
That's wrong.
And she's washing my hair. And then we get back to the seat. I'm talking about all these bad haircuts I had in the past. And then I look in the mirror and she spins me around. My hair was cut so short that I looked bald. But, I mean, I had to tip her because I knew her mom. I knew her mom. So now if I didn't tip, it's going to get back to her mom, then back to my family, that I'm this cheap guy that doesn't tip.
I mean, it's not cool to be somebody's first haircut either. Seems a little, you know. But you're right. I mean, I would always tip even with a bad haircut. I've done that.
You have to.
I mean, I've done that exact same thing.
Yeah, you don't like your haircut. You don't like the color, whatever it is. It's for some reason, you have to.
Right. You walk out, you tell them it's great, and then you cry in the car.
Exactly.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses. Learn more at gusto.com/radio. Dave and Amy. Amy, what's going on?
So we've got our wedding booked for late October. But I just realized that we'll actually be in the third Mercury retrograde of the year. So I feel like we have to move the wedding or like otherwise we'll be cursed.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. You have a wedding booked for October of this year, and you want to move the wedding because it's a Mercury retrograde. It's the third time of the year for Mercury retrograde.
Right. And so if we go through with the wedding, mm-hmm. I feel like we're risking like being cursed for the rest of our lives.
Forgive me, Anna, because Anna is actually a big fear of Mercury retrograde.
I don't fear it.
All right,
I respect it.
You respect the Mercury retrograde. So please catch me up here, the two of you.
Is the
third one worse than the second one or the first one or worse than any other one?
They're all just, you know, they all cause chaos.
They're all terrible.
It's just the lack of communication. And if you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it. And if you do, you do. It has to do with, I don't know, the earth and the way it spins and like whatever. But they say that there's a lot of technical and communication glitches during Mercury retrogrades. And you can Google when they are. Sometimes they're a couple of years. Sometimes there's three times a year.
Okay.
I don't know if I would change my wedding date because of that.
I'm guessing that the contracts that you guys signed and the retainers that you have out there, Dave, might have some sort of issue that you would have with Mercury retrograde getting in the way of your wedding date.
Yeah, I don't think we got the insurance that covers Mercury retrograde interference. I mean, we met during a Mercury retrograde, so...
romantic.
I think this is silly. This is ridiculous. Because, I'm going to use the analogies that she likes with all of this. The Big Dipper will be empty in Mercury retrograde if we rebook. So, no money. All
gone.
How much
is it going to cost? So, hold on. When do you want to move the wedding to, just out of curiosity?
I'm just trying to push it back like a month. I'm just trying to wait until the Mercury retrograde is over so that we'll be in the clear. I'll just talk to the venue and see what's available about a month later.
Okay. Well, here's the problem I have with this. If you really believe in these things and you're very superstitious, then you're going to have a problem with getting married during this time period. And is that all that stress that comes along with it? Everything that goes wrong for the rest of your life? Are you going to say, it's because I told you we shouldn't have gotten married that day? So I can understand going into it with that fear. But I also clearly see Dave's side where it's going to cost a ton of money.
Yeah.
And who knows if the vendors and everything is even available.
How about your guests? You're moving your date off a month now at this point. It says here that retrograde goes to the second week of November, Anna.
Right.
So now you're getting into people's holiday plans on top of it. Thanksgiving's right on the tail end there. Christmas after that, you may end up with nobody at this wedding.
I don't know.
Which might be good because you might be doing it in your backyard because the venue might tell you no.
Okay. If you were superstitious and this was a big deal to you, would you move your wedding Mercury retrograde?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
What if you were scheduled to be married at the end of October, but then your fiance says, we've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
It's Mercury retrograde and we cannot get married during Mercury retrograde. It will destroy our lives.
I mean, honestly, I give Dave a lot of credit here already. Just entertaining this conversation with Amy is something that I think a lot of people would not do with their partner. And I just, you know, there's a lot to consider here, obviously. There's the money that they've invested. There's the time that they've invested. And what about all their guests that would be considering coming to this event to try and explain this to your parents?
Yeah, but you still have a little bit of time. And that's what she says. She's like, we could just push it 1 month to November and we'll try to figure out a way to do it for the least amount of money and everything will be fine. And then we don't have to worry about this haunting us for the rest of our lives.
Okay.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
First off, God bless you too, man. Mm. Always. Thank you. Second off, I'm on his side.
I mean, only God could determine what's going to happen in the future. That superstitious stuff, got to cut it out. Just get married, love each other. Like he said, they met on a Mercury day, so you might as well just tie the knot on a Mercury day.
Mm, embrace it. Go with it. Thanks, yeah. Big Frank. I appreciate
That's it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Would you change your wedding day because it fell during Mercury retrograde? That's what's going on today on the Couples Court, and the verdict is powered by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations.
Dave and Amy were planning for an October wedding when all of a sudden the phone rings, and she goes, "Oh my God, honey, we made a terrible mistake. We've planned this during Mercury retrograde. Let's get married in November. No biggie, right?"
Yeah, except he says it is a biggie. We have all our guests coming from out of town and we have to change everything and it's going to be an expensive thing. But she says our wedding and our marriage is going to be cursed if we actually get married during this time period. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Jill.
I think I'm on her side. I mean, if she has this intuition that she needs to change around her wedding because of the Mercury retrograde, then go for it. Anna was right. You could use it, you know, against your marriage for anything bad that happens. So better safe than sorry.
Do I believe that it's going to destroy a marriage? No, of course I don't. But do I think that every time something goes wrong, you're going to have that in the back of your head for the rest of your life? Yeah, probably. If it's that big of a deal to you that you're willing to go this far to change your date.
I mean, what if they were walking into the venue and dropped a mirror or a black cat walked in front of their car? I mean, how long can you embrace something like that?
People that are superstitious are very superstitious.
James, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Hi. I'm on his side because I don't really know about at all this kind of thing. I don't want to offend anybody. But my initial reaction was, no, I think the groom is cursed, but that's not fair. I think that they should just live their life, just throw everything out the window and just live their life, be spiritual, take it day by day like that. I'm on his side.
If you Google Mercury retrograde, It says Mercury retrograde is an astrology term for a period when Mercury appears to move backwards in the sky from our perspective on Earth. And astrologers believe it's a time when communication, technology, travel and plans can go haywire.
Mm, but regular people don't care at all.
Well,
right. Not even slightly for a minute.
But Amy cares.
Yeah.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dave, our audience agreed with you today. You can't do it, Amy. I know you're superstitious. I know you believe in it. And part of me does too, I guess. But that's not a reason to change your wedding and change your plans. This is something you should have looked into a long time ago.
I mean, yes. Like, I can't believe I didn't realize it sooner. Okay. All right. I'm very nervous about it, but
you need to go see a priest or a shaman or whatever, or maybe both, just all of them in that area, and just have people toss blessings over this, maybe sage stick it, all right, so that you're good to go through retrograde, because I think it's probably going to be fine. I mean, if you didn't realize when you said yes at the time or when you thought about the date, then you were already on the right path. You were trusting your gut. And by the way, some credit to Dave here. Dave, you get the votes, but you're a saint. Mm-hmm. Even the fact that you entertained this conversation and didn't lose your mind, like, okay, like you're a patient man. How would you feel about being my next therapist? How would you feel about that?
I would love to be your next therapist.
I am in need. I am in need, sir. Haven't found a new one yet, Anna.
All right. Well, keep looking, Raven. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$1,200 on the line today for Can't Beat Raven. Hey, Caroline, you ready to play?
Yep.
Do you know your stuff? Because they're a little bit tricky today, but the right person, I think, can take him down.
Well, I got my secret weapon here, my kid.
Oh, I love that. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. $1,200. Here we go.
All right, Caroline, he's going to walk out of here. Caroline, how old are your kids?
He's 27, actually. I'm old.
All right. Okay. All right.
I'm retired, so this is so cool.
Yeah. Don't say you're old. Stop that. But he might be really helpful. So let's do this. All right. I'm going to ask you these 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, okay?
Okay.
Number one, Britney Spears is warning people about the dangers of botched Botox after her eye was droopy. What TV show did Britney appear on as a child?
The Mickey Mouse Club. The Mickey Mouse Club.
Number two, a real-life Freddy Fazbear's Pizza from Five Nights at Freddy's will open next year at the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. What is the player's job in the original game?
I'm so sorry, I don't know. We don't know.
Okay, number three, Usher addressed the rumors that he used a body double during his concerts, and he says it's not true, there's no clone. Name one of the other two artists that Usher featured on his hit, Yeah!
Ludacris and Lil Jon.
Ludacris and Lil Jon.
Number four, Ted Lasso is back for season four on Apple TV. What country does Ted travel to coach in?
England.
And number five, Adam Sandler wears socks in the pool because he can't bend down to take them off on land. What Adam Sandler movie involves a man who can magically control his life with a remote?
Click.
Click.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Okay.
Go. Four out of five for Caroline and her son.
Pretty impressive. Let's see how I do.
Yeah, your son was clutch here, Caroline. Big deal. Yeah. Number one, Britney Spears is warning people about the dangers of botched Botox after her eye was droopy.
Okay.
What TV show did Britney appear on as a child?
Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes. Number two, a real-life Freddy Fazbear's Pizza from Five Nights at Freddy's is going to open next year at the American Dream Mall in New Jersey.
People love those movies. They love those games.
What is the player's job in the original game?
Security guard.
Yes.
Yep.
Number three, Usher addressed the rumors that he uses a body double during his concerts and said it's not true. He doesn't have a clone. Name one of the other two artists that Usher featured on his hit, Yeah.
Ludacris is on there.
Yep.
Yeah, Ludacris, isn't it? Chris Brown is the other one, too?
No, Little Jon.
Little Jon, yeah.
All right, number four, Ted Lasso is back for season four on Apple TV. What country does Ted travel to coach in?
England.
Yep. Number five, you guys are tied at four. Adam Sandler wears socks in the pool because he can't bend down and take them off on land. His daughter says that he takes them off in the pool and then he uses them, he rolls them up and uses them as balls to hit people in the face.
That's gross.
What Adam Sandler movie involves a man who can magically control his life with a remote?
Click.
Yeah.
Right?
Caroline, 5-4 today. It's still a great job. You're going to get that Ann on Raven t-shirt that you should promptly give to your son.
Okay. You can tell, right? This is Caroline, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,300 tomorrow, Anna. Good game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.